Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game, it is 3 o'clock on a Thursday, which means it's the TD Power Hour. TD is here. And TD, I'm going to be honest, I'm just going to get out of the way and let you talk to the people about what you've seen at Titans practice, because I'm going to be honest, I think they like you more than they like me. So, TD, first of all, I say good to see you. I've seen you the last 2 days. And I kind of feel like we've been comparing notes, so half of my takes probably come from the ones where I'm like, you know, TD, I like this guy, and if you say yes, then I'm like, oh, yeah, then I definitely like that guy. But TD, good. First of all, great to be back out on the field and to be on the field like normal, but kind of what have you thought so far for the first 2 days of practice?
Oh, no doubt. It's definitely awesome to be back on the field, just there, just that whole environment, man. I can't help but smile just thinking about it, man. This is heaven. So let's start with that. And there have been multiple things that have stood out to me. I love, first and foremost, I love the energy that these guys have. And there's a different vibe, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but just the energy and just the excitement that they have to be out there, it's refreshing to see that, because we know this game is very much business oriented, but when you see guys out there having fun the way that they are, that's something to just kind of hang your hat on. As far as individual standouts, there's so many that we could talk about. If you want to start offense, obviously A.J. Brown. And one of the things about A.J. Brown that was an area for improvement was explosiveness in and out of his cuts and those type of things, his breaks. And you're seeing that in one-on-ones. So he had a couple of very nice reps against Chris Jackson today. He had a couple solid ones against Jackrabbit Jenkins yesterday. And what I really like is just the suddenness. And you could tell that that was something that he focused on and wanted to get right. And that's just a way that you take a really good guy and make him into great. I think A.J. Brown has the potential to be great this year. And I will be surprised if he doesn't take that next step into the upper echelon of receivers. You know I've always been high on him, so obviously, it's something that I would like to see, and I think it's going to happen. So he's been really good. A guy quietly that has stood out, and I haven't really mentioned him, but I was just kind of, as I was driving here, just thinking about Chester Rogers. And he made a couple plays yesterday, just catching the ball in traffic. There was one where Tannehill fit the ball beautifully right in between Rashawn Evans and Kevin Byard. Nice sit route by Rogers, and he caught that. And then he had a couple catches today. I like the way that they're comboing him with A.J. Brown, whereas A.J. Brown, you know, he did a couple things, because we can't really get into details. I can't paint the picture as well as I want to. But he came across a formation and ran a route that took two or three defenders, and Chester Rogers came right underneath. Nice, easy throwing catch, Tannehill to Rogers. He's very consistent, and that's the key. Oh, and by the way, he helps out in the return game. So he could be a dark horse to make this roster. And then Marcus Johnson had a couple really nice catches today, corner end zone. And that guy is the epitome of consistency. That's one thing. You don't see the ball fall on the ground when it's thrown his direction, right? He catches pretty much everything that's thrown to him. I definitely like Marcus Johnson, so that's something else to look at. Just staying on the receiver side of things, you know, Racy McMath had an excellent day yesterday. Solid day today. Didn't stand out as much, but I think that's something that we have to look at, that continuous development. He and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, because some are of the elk that is going to be either A or B, Westbrook-Ikhine or Racy McMath. I think both of these guys make the roster. And I actually got to talk to Westbrook-Ikhine after practice today. And I mean, look, because I've joked about him, as far as having the physical altercations with the football. You know, sometimes he was fighting that thing last year. So I wanted to find out what was behind that. And he said that he's done a lot of ball drills and a lot of work with Rob Moore. And then he also attributed some of that to some nervousness that he had last year. And he said it was something that he never really experienced before. But it's not really something that you see anymore. You're starting to, when he catches the football, right, it's not a thud anymore. It's more of just like a absorption, you know, like that. And that's the sound that you want as a receiver, you know, when you catch the football. So I definitely, you know, want to point him out. And his routes have gotten better, too. So those are a couple guys offensively. Darrington Evans, we got to see him catching the football out of the backfield today as well. So that's a plus, and that kind of goes along with what we saw OTA's minicamp when he was working with Coach Rob Moore and the receivers. Fantasy football tidbit, he might be a guy to grab, especially if you have a running back that you want to, you know, Derrick Henry, if you want to handcuff him, that's a good opportunity to do that. So there's your little fantasy football tidbit. Offensive line-wise, you know, the guys are continuing. It's tough, really, to see because they're not in pads, right? But you could just kind of continue to see them working the footwork. Kendall Lamb is working, as we discussed, Jarrett, during practice today. You're seeing him work at multiple spots. So that's something. No Ty Sambrello. But then you're seeing Dylan Raiden's work at multi. And let me say this about Raiden's, by the way. I saw him after practice yesterday, and he just had, you know, he didn't have his jersey on or helmet. I just saw him just in regular, like the Under Armour type shirt. Mm-hmm. He's very well put together. You know what I'm saying? Like
he looks like Taylor Lewan, but like the build, I think, is very similar to Taylor. At least that's what I felt.
Yeah, he's well put together. I was impressed. You know what I'm saying? And because, you know, a lot of times, like linemen, they'll have, you know, a little kangaroo pouch or something. No, he didn't have that, man. He looked like a bigger tight end, so to speak. I just want to see him continue to develop, man, and just see where he ends up. I was talking to Charles Davis during practice today, and that's a guy that he's looking at too. We both think he's going to start at some point. But in the meantime, Kendall Lamb is the guy, so we'll see how that works out. Defensively, look, Tyre Tarte, his footwork, it's really impressive. You know, and I asked him about just how did that come about. I said, I know you play basketball. You played basketball back in the day, right? And he said definitely since he was 7. And you could tell, like, we have a big man like that who has that footwork, the quick feet. That's usually the background. They played basketball. They were a hooper. And that's pretty much the case with him. But then you combine that with his swim move and the way he uses his hands. That's why you were seeing him knife into the backfield and do some of the things that he was doing yesterday as far as destroying plays. You know, Coach had to blow the whistle. You know what I mean? You couldn't let it execute. And Coach Keith Carter is dog cussing people. So that's really how it ends up happening. And it wasn't just Tart that was doing that. Pecco. I can't pronounce his first name. I don't know it off the top of my head. But number 94, Pecco, one of the defensive tackles, he has had a couple really nice days as well. That's going to be interesting, just seeing how that whole rotation ends up working. Jeffrey Simmons and Larrell Murchison, they took turns today destroying running plays during team period. And, you know, these things are happening without pads. You know, so you're getting to see just like the athleticism from these guys. I've been impressed there. Linebacker-wise, I mean, it just kind of has been what it's been. Rashawn Evans had a couple nice breakups. Jayon Brown in coverage was pretty impressive in a couple one-on-ones. He and Darrington Evans went at it a couple times. But let's talk about the secondary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody, me included, has made a big point to focus on Jack Rabbit Jenkins, who obviously is an established player. But, hey, man. What about Breon Borders? You know what I mean? What about Breon Borders? Because if you ask me, he's been the best DB these last couple of days in camp. And you know that's someone dating back to last year that I've always told you, like, hey, the boy could play. You know, and that's what he does, man. He just competes. That's what Coach Vrabel said. You know, he's a guy that competes on every play. And then you saw Coach Vrabel call out, hey, Breon, Racy, let's go. And that's how they ended one-on-ones, and it was an incompletion. But then, I mean, you look at the interceptions, right? He's had, I believe two. One, it was he dove in front of Chester Rogers on a pass that Deshaun Kizer threw. He was forcing it. And then there was another one, but then he's had a series of breakups. And you're just seeing, you know, that guy, like, he's kind of like, as a receiver, you know, you can't stand those type of defensive backs, those corners like him, because he's like that little gnat or that mosquito just keeps biting you and biting you and biting you.
He's got that Malcolm Butler to him.
Yeah, exactly. He has that Malcolm Butler. Whereas, but it's different because, like, Malcolm Butler, to me, like, that's the type – I would want to fight him every day in practice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Breon Borders, like, I wouldn't want to fight him. You know what I'm saying? He's the one I after a rep, I'd be like, hey, man, good stuff, man. But Butler, because of, you know, his chippiness, how he talks, you know, he's the one, like, he like, bro, I'm about to swing on you. You know, you want to swing on him. You know what I mean? So it's different, but it's still the same. You know, as an oxymoron, different and the same. But, yeah, man, he stood out. Elijah Molden looked really – he has some nice reps too, you know, and he's not getting PBUs or interceptions. But when you're covering a receiver and the quarterback looks there and moves on, hey, as a DB, you did your job. So he's done that. I really, really like the rep, and I posted it in one-on-ones today on Twitter and IG. I believe on IG, but on social media, we'll put it that way. I really like the rep that he had against Chester Rogers, where he just kind of stayed over top of him. Rogers, you know, he let Rogers go ahead and do his little moves and didn't fall for it and just battled. And this is what you saw him do consistently at Washington. You've seen that carry over, and that's a positive thing. Elijah Molden, Chris Jackson, those guys are going to be interesting as far as competing for the nickel position. Christian Fulton in the mix too. I think the secondary is going to be a little bit better than it was. And then one other thing, just to kind of unload, to get this off my dome, you know what I mean, the communication. And that's something I turned to Kayla Anderson and was telling her about. You're seeing a lot of communication. Kevin Byard, they had one play, one rep where you had the running back kind of motion out, and it was an empty backfield, right? And Byard obviously yelled, empty, empty. And then he talked to the linebacker, David Long Jr., and he was like, hey, drop down, drop down. This is the type of communication that you want to see. And this is something that didn't happen consistently last year, right? But you're seeing that. And then you're even, as I've said before, seeing the DBs talk to each other, right? When there's a receiver on the outside and he's running an in-breaking route, the corner is yelling in to the safety to know, hey, or to the linebacker to know, hey, look, you got something coming your way. That's really big time. And then also the nonverbal communication. And I went over this on Talking with TD, whereas you see the hand signals where they're telling each other, okay, you know, you got outside, I got inside, or vice versa. And that's critical when you have those bunch formations because, you know, they try to create separation with the splits that they have. And when you are not on the same page, that's how a guy gets wide open. So they're working on those things. I think Anthony Midget and the coaching staff there, Scott Booker, you know, those guys are focusing on those things, and that's a positive.
I will say this, to your point about communication, there was one, and it's funny, TD, I'm just like you. I have to think about, okay, what can I say as compared to what I can't say? Tannehill put a ball in there beautifully today for Chester Rogers on a touchdown.
Yes.
And you could see Byard and Evans were both upset with themselves because I think they didn't pass off Rogers the way they wanted to. But I would say this, I don't care what kind of defense you're playing on that one. Tannehill's putting that ball in there. It could have been to anybody. Tannehill's putting that ball in there perfectly.
Yeah.
But to your point about the communication, the anger about that.
I'm going to tell you why that was doubly frustrating. Because that's the second day in a row that happened. Right? Yeah. So you let that happen. You watch it on film. And then it happens again. You're like, dadgum. You know, it's upsetting when that's an area of focus, but it's an area of failure on two consecutive days.
TD is with us. The TD Power Hour is presented by our friends at Freedom Tire Guys. You know we absolutely love them. Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire service, online at freedomtireguys.com. Coming up next, who's hot, who's not? 2 days of practice. Who's TD looking at saying, oh, wow, and you know who out there maybe needs a little bit more? TD will give us the skinny on that coming up next. We are live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company, the TD Power Hour, Titans training camp. A report from Teron Davenport, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the all things basementy company, the Trenches Shop in North Nashville, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's new barber shop on wheels. You have control of the time and place. Book your appointment at the CutTruckMobile.com. TD, before we get into the who's hot and who's not, let me just say this. I don't want to get carried away on 2 days of training camp when I haven't seen every other quarterback at training camp. I think Tannehill's been awesome for 2 days. I mean, he looks the part of QB1, at least through the 2 days. I mean, he hadn't been perfect, but, I mean, you and I were sitting there with the connection between him and A.J. Brown. He threw a ball to Firkser today that I thought was beautiful.
Yeah.
A touchdown to Marcus Johnson. So I hope I'm not getting too far ahead of myself.
Two
Tannehill's looking great.
Yeah, I think he is looking really good. Now, I mean, I'm going to balance that out because he did have a slip-up where Amani Hooker was able to jump a route and pick it off, you know. So there was a hang-up. But, I mean, his name is Ryan, not Jesus. So we're not going to, you know, over-criticize the man. But at the same time, yeah, he's looked at – the thing I like is the confidence, whereas he is making – he's very decisive as far as where he wants to go with the football. And that's something that I was curious about because, again – this is not Arthur Smith calling the plays. This is Todd Downing. And why is that big to me? Because Ryan Tannehill told me that the relationship that he had with Arthur Smith and the openness and the back and forth and just the willingness to just look into whatever he wanted to do, that is unique that he had. Like, that connection was unique. So I want to see how that carries over to Todd Downing. Fortunately, Todd Downing was involved with a lot of the install of the offense, so there should be some carryover. And you're kind of seeing that now just because of the confidence that he has as far as where he's going with the football and how he's fitting into different places.
TD, who's hot and who's not? Let's start with who's hot through 2 days at camp.
Hey, listen, we're going to carry it over, man. Breon Borders is hot, mm-hmm. in my opinion. He's had back-to-back really solid days. And every time you look up, there's a pass deflection, and like who was that? Oh, 39, Breon. You're just seeing it over and over again. And then, as I said, he had a couple picks. You know, that's critical as a guy in the secondary, as a defender, period, right? You want to turn the football over, give your opportunity for the offense to get another chance to score. So you're definitely seeing that. I like the way he's matching up with different receivers. I mean, you go back to minicamp, one of the things, if you remember, we had a conversation. I said, you know what? That darn Breon Borders had a couple nice reps against Julio Jones. You know, so you're seeing that it's not just against, you know, player wide receiver 6, 7, or 8. It's against wide receiver 1B, 2, you know. And I want to see how they continue. Now, Julio Jones is not doing much one-on-one-wise, but A.J. Brown is. So, for me, what I want Coach Vrabel to do is – call Breon. Okay, look, man, you're doing well against these guys. Now you go against the creme de la creme. Let's see what you could do. And I want to see that. And I think he's earned the opportunity to go against A.J. Brown in one-on-ones and really show the secondary coaches what he could do.
Can I say the one thing that's crazy about Breon Borders in one-on-ones, and Chris Jackson thinks kind of like this too, is I feel like they go every other rep. Like, you know, we see everybody, you know, I figured it was like a layup line. Like, everybody shoots their layup and then gets a but I feel like every time they're snapping the ball, it's Breon Borders or Chris Jackson who's going up against a wide receiver. And I think that kind of speaks to Vrabel maybe pinch counting some guys like Jack Rabbit Jenkins. And I think some of it is Breon Borders. To your point, it doesn't matter to him if it's Mason Kinsey. It doesn't matter to him if it's Josh Reynolds, if it's Julio Jones, if it's Jared Stillman. Like, if they're lined up, Breon Borders is taking that person on.
Hey, man, Janet Jackson had a song, Whenever, Wherever, Whoever. And that's kind of what it is for Breon Borders. And I love that. And you mentioned Chris Jackson, too, has had a solid camp as well so far. And these are two guys, I mean, they're out there, like you said, almost every other rep, and it's because their ribs are showing. That's how badly they're starving. They want to get out there and earn spots, not only on the roster, but in the rotation.
Who needs to pick it up a little bit, TD?
Oh, boy, man. You know, it's crazy. Like, I feel like the Dow Jones, you know, going up and down, because I've been really high on DeShone Kizer, but, hey, man, he got to get it together. And Mike Vrabel kind of touched on that about how some of these situations are suboptimal for them, whereas they're working with, you know, a third group, and it may not be the best as some of the higher groups, the higher units. But he did say he wanted to see how they would respond to that. And that's the thing with a quarterback, well, any player, period, but especially your quarterback. Okay, when things aren't in the best situation for you, how are you going to bounce back? How are you going to fight through and lead this team to do what they need to do? And I think that's something that Kizer has to do better of. And it's unfortunate because what we saw in minicamp was a guy who seemed to have a good grasp of the offense, a guy who seemed to know where he wanted to go with the football. I'm not seeing that now. And there are too many times where – now, granted, some of it is because the receivers are covered. I'm not going to fake that. Like, there was when he threw the interception that Breon Borders picked off. Well – it looked like the primary, the number one receiver was Racy McMath running an in-breaking route from the outside. He was number one on the left, But McMath kind of just like ran right into the safety. And that's one of the things. I remember my receiver coach, if we did something like that, he would say, hey, son, get that magnet out your chest. You know, you're fiending for contact. You don't want contact. And he kind of took himself out of the play. But there are other times where guys did seem to be open. He didn't know where he wanted to go with the football, and or just didn't. He may have known, but just didn't pull the trigger. And then he had to tuck it and run. And I'm sorry, unless everyone is locked down, you don't really want to be scrambling as a quarterback in 7-on-7. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that, right? Because your guys have all the time in the world to go ahead and get open. So that's a problem. And then today he telegraphed a pass, I believe it was to Fred Brown, and downtown Freddie Brown and Matthias Farley. He read it. He read it all the way, and you saw
he jumped that.
You saw it. I was like, oh, this is about to be a pick. Because you saw him just come down off his post, swoop, slip right in there, and bingo, and he was gone. And those are the things that you can't have. So, look, I'm going to balance it out. I'm objective. Obviously, I want DeShone Kizer to do well because I know the young man is very talented, and I enjoyed watching him play at Notre Dame, and I feel he got a raw deal in Cleveland, and he kind of bounced around. But you got to do better than what he's done so far.
And on top of that, it doesn't feel like Woodside has made any mistakes through 2 days.
No.
And I think that's kind of, you know, the selling point here is I would agree with you. I mean, I think Kizer has more talent than Logan Woodside.
Right.
But at the same time, if I'm Mike Vrabel and something, knock on wood, were to happen to Ryan Tannehill, I think right now I feel more comfortable putting Woodside in the game because – my advice to Logan is turn around, hand the ball to 22, and then keep it simple with the receivers you got and just, you know, don't do anything crazy. And I can trust that I think Woodside can go in and do an NFL game and do that. He may not win you that game, but I think he can do that. And with Kizer, who I think is more talented right now, I think he is very indecisive. And it feels kind of like watching Mariota there at the end, kind of with some of the, you know, is it a shell-shocked thing or an indecisive thing or doesn't want to make the bad play, but you can tell it's kind of slowing him down a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely slowing him down. And it's funny, it's like my guy Gene Clemens from Football Game Plan, we were watching down at the Senior Bowl, and we were watching a certain quarterback, and he had that processing issue. And he said it seems like that hourglass, the buffering, you know, it shows. He said it seems like that's on top of his head. And that's what it seems like with Kizer. But, I mean, we're 2 days in. Let's see how this continues to work out. Fortunately for Kizer and for the other guys who may not have gotten a really good jump on camp, there's a little bit of time to get it going. You have preseason games. So we'll see how that whole thing works out. But he definitely has to turn things around because, to your point, Logan Woodside has not made mistakes, right? And at the very least, okay, again, knock on wood, if Tannehill should have to not be in the lineup, you want a guy that won't turn the football over. You want a guy who can you could have Woodside manage the game for you just from a different perspective than Tannehill has. It would just probably like be a million paper cuts as opposed to the way Tannehill is able to gash defenses with his down ball, down the field throwing.
So I got two guys that I'm going to put in the who's not hot category or who needs to step it up a little bit. And the first one is Kendall Lamb. And I'm only saying it because Vrabel's answer today, TD, was very telling when Jim Wyatt asked him about right tackle. And he said, well, you know, Ty Sam Brilo is going to come back. And when Ty Sam Brilo gets back, he'll be in the mix. And hopefully Ty will get in there. And I was like, whoa. You know, Vrabel never talks about injured guys.
Yeah.
So for Vrabel to bring up the injured guy when asked about a position, I look at that as like, hey, message to everybody else who's thinking about playing right tackle. Get it together. Well, and so I have to put Kendall Lamb on the list.
I think, you know, there's only so much, though, that you could see. Like, I wouldn't put too much stock because, again, these guys, they're not in pads. So, like, you can't really get your hands on a guy and drive him the way you want to and do the things that you want. So I think there's still an opportunity for Lamb to, you know, solidify that. But the fact that they're moving him around a little bit, that kind of stands out to me. I have to get a little more dialed in on Dylan Radins and see exactly where he's lining up consistently. But if they start moving Lamb around and Radins is playing right tackle consistently, that could mean that the rookie is going to start opening day. You know, so we'll see what happens.
The other one is the kickers. And I remember last year when Floyd showed up after he went to a practice.
I remember this.
You know, old special teams coach, and he just goes, get rid of him. And he's like, if I'm the GM, Steven Goskowski is in my office this afternoon. And not to say, I mean, yesterday I thought Tucker McCann was good. Today I thought they both were really bad, or I should say inconsistent. And they're going to get the opportunity to kick their way off this team. But so far, I mean, I need to see more consistency from both guys, especially Hobble, because I just don't think he's got it.
Yeah. Hobble, I think that's the pronunciation now. But I thought that he did have it. I could be wrong. I could be, you know, but again, we're 2 days in. But
true.
You know, the thing is, and folks, we have a nice tandem. You know, Jared and I are Shaq and Kobe in this thing, man. You know, Jared goes behind the goalpost. I stand on the sideline, and we're relaying, okay, and going back and forth as far as what's good and what distance. So we got you covered on that. Jared, do you have the particulars as far as how the competition went today?
So, yeah, I mean, the particulars, and I have them because you sent them to me, the distance. But the thing was, when Hobble missed, or Hobble, or when he missed, I mean, he missed. So, for example, Hobble missed from 37, and he missed from 49. McCann missed from 40 and 49, and they hit from 32, and Hobble hit from 40, and they both hit from 43. So, like, I mean, not high-pressure kicks. I was trying to think about the pressure in this, because there is pressure. Everybody's watching when you're out there attempting a kick, and you only get 5 kicks for the entire practice.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get cut tomorrow off of the way you kick in this practice, but it's not the same as 53 with the game on the line, and you've got Hobble missing from 37, and you've got McCann missing from 40.
Yeah, and I mean, either way, you can't have, especially a team like this, right? Because look at how many close games they won last year. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at those things and you say, okay, well, okay, a Jeffrey Simmons tip pass or an A.J. Brown 50-yard catch, that saved this game or that game. You know, actually, a Jeffrey Simmons tip pass saved 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, when these games are close like this, you need to be able to count on a kicker. If, for some reason, you can't score a touchdown, you need those 3 points. And I think that's why the Ravens, in my opinion, like, they have the ultimate frippin' cheat code in Justin Tucker. And I swear to God, listen, I covered the Ravens for 2 years, and that dude, he was hitting 65-plus consistently in practice. Consistently. So it's like, you get to the opponent's 40-yard line, the score – board operator, just get ready to tack on at least 3 points. Like, you, it's almost a given. And I'm not saying the Titans need to get to that point, but it's like, daggone, we get to the 20, right? It should be at least 3 points. Mm-hmm. But that's not something that you could say right now.
No, and I think to that point, I don't think they want to call Goskowski. I think they know they can, and I think Vrabel wants those kickers to know that it's an option, but I don't think they want to call Goskowski this year.
Right. I mean, look, I can't say what happened last year as far as some of these misses and makes was good for the cardiac health of anybody on the coaching staff. You know what I mean? So you're right. It's definitely something that they probably don't want to do, but it's just like, maybe you might have to do that. You might have to.
TD has been at a lot of training camp practices in his life, a lot of different teams, good teams, bad teams, indifferent teams, and a lot of different Titan teams. What is the vibe of this Titans camp like? We'll get to that next with TD. Plus, get your questions in. We will leave plenty of time for the questions from the fans for TD. Get them into the text line, 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025 for the TD Power Hour, which, of course, is presented by Freedom Tire Guys. Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire service, online at freedomtireguys.com. Plus, a big name headed to the COVID list for the Titans. We'll touch on that, too. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. TD Power Hour, Teron Davenport with us, ESPN. And Teron Davenport from camp is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basementy Company, the Trenches Shop in North Nashville, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's new barbershop on wheels. You have control of time and place. Book your appointment at the Cut at the CutTruckMobile.org. TD, a little breaking news from the Titans. Bud Dupree, who's currently on the PUP list, physically unable to perform, has been added to the COVID-19 list. Now, This is like last year. That doesn't mean that he has it. That doesn't mean that he's vaccinated, not vaccinated, in the process of vaccination. Those are all kind of private. But Bud Dupree added to the list, and that obviously is not a good sign.
No, definitely not a good sign. We'll see just how the waiting period goes. But it's kind of unique because this isn't a guy that they were trotting out there anyway, and we didn't even see him, you know, in the facility, like in the weight room, et cetera, like we've seen some of the other guys. So it's definitely something to monitor. But, I mean, with a team that's at 90, around like hovering around 90% vaccination rate, it's not something I would panic about, because this isn't necessarily lost time, right? It's just – if it is something – now, let's say he is not vaccinated and has, you know, contracted COVID, then that could be a bad situation, because you have to go through the process of you know, working that through your body and your body beating it, and then turn around and being back and ready to go. And we saw with some of the guys how that interfered with their you know, their season last year. So there's no good to it, obviously, but there's bad and catastrophic. I think that's how you could look at it.
TD, you've covered a lot of training camps before, and Mike Vrabel was not happy with today's camp at practice, and I understand why he wasn't. And yesterday certainly felt like the first, you know, pep in the step, first day of school kind of vibe. But it does feel, at least to me, a little different, I think, as far as confidence is concerned. Like, everybody knows who the big bosses are now. Everybody knows what the system is. I think everybody knows who they can believe in. And it just feels different to me, like maybe a little bit more confident. How would you describe the vibe so far through the first 2 days of camp?
I think the vibe is very upbeat. And you're even A.J. Brown and Kevin Byard, right? I don't know if you saw, but they had a little – it wasn't anything like real beef, you know, but it was just like a little back and forth. You know, they're talking stuff back and forth to each other. So you're seeing that. And it's just, to me, there's a different confidence to this group than what I've seen the last couple years. And that's something even Roger Saffold had actually said, that they're insanely confident. And I get that as a team that has consistently, you know, been competitive, you know, over the last 2 years and coming off a division title and a team that made an upgrade like they did as far as acquiring Julio Jones, that's major. So, yeah, there should be an air of confidence there, and you're seeing it. And it's just very upbeat. I think that's the thing. And that's something that, you know, Jim Schwartz, you know, he you hear him just kind of saying urgency. And that's something that, you know, this team wants to play with, that urgency and that aggressiveness and just that mindset, right? The attacking type of mindset. And you're seeing it, and that's why they're kind of rolling through different periods the way they are. So it's definitely an upbeat vibe.
I also think, too, part of it is, you know, Henry and Tannehill, I think they really set the tone for everybody else out there. Like, because it's established as to who the star players are, Henry, Tannehill, A.J. Brown, I feel like maybe that makes it easier for the young guys to really emulate their vibe that they're bringing to the field every day.
Yeah, it definitely relates. Now, Derrick Henry, we saw him kind of on the load management system today, and I thought it was cool that he was finding other ways to still get working, right, getting on the elliptical. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, you saw him get in the sand pit. So he's doing things, working in the end zone and up and down the field with Coach Tony Dews, catching the football. So you're seeing him still get work. And I think that kind of sets the tone in that, okay, well, if my 2,000-yard rushing, almost 20-touchdown scoring teammate is finding every way he can to get all the work in, you know what? I better do it too. You know, and you even see Jeremy McNichols, you know, over there. He was getting work on the bike and doing those things. So it is definitely rubbing off. That's a way to set the tone. And then even Ryan Tannehill, you see the extensive work to develop the chemistry with Julio Jones and continue that chemistry with A.J. Brown. Whereas during individual period, you know, the late portion of that, those three, as well as Kaiser and Woodside, go to the side or to a different part of the field, and they're throwing, they're working top of the route and just doing different things. And you see Todd Downing coming over there and talking to them too. So I think when you see your premier players making the extra effort to do the things that they need to do to get where they want to get, that cycles down to the rest of them. And what did we talk about with Breon Borders earlier? The way he competes on every rep. Now, granted, as I said, he's a guy whose ribs are showing, right? He's someone, the roster spot is not guaranteed, you know? So when you see him go out and do that, a lot of times that tone is set by a veteran player. Who's that veteran player? Jackrabbit Jenkins. And that's what I asked Coach Vrabel about yesterday, just as far as the way he goes out and competes on every rep. So when you have a solidified veteran going out and competing the way he does in every rep, as a guy like Breon Borders, like, hey, man, my spot's not guaranteed. I need to make sure that I'm doing that. And that's something that you want to say regardless, but it just helps when you see the premier players on the team putting in extra work.
All right, questions for TD. We'll get right to them next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025, the questions for TD. As always, your questions from training camp. TD has all the answers. That is next. The TD Power Hour presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire service, online at freedomtireguys.com. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025, the game. The TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire service, online at freedomtireguys.com. TD is with us, and it is time to answer your questions. 615-737-1025, your Titans questions for the man himself, TD. Chris, a.k.a. Titans in Truth, you are talking with TD. Thank you for calling the show. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, go ahead.
As always, gentlemen, it is a pleasure to talk to both of you, as always.
So we love you.
My question is this. You know, I hear what y'all said about Breon. I like Breon Borders a lot. I think he could be that hidden gem as a third or fourth corner, because a lot of times with Breon, there were not a lot of times where you noticed him in a bad way, making a mistake, as you would say, Tyson for Jonathan Joseph. So I like the upside with him. A question I have, TD Jarrett, defensive line. Talk to me about that. With, you know, we know Derek Tart looks like he's turning heads at defensive at nose tackle. What about Daquan Jones and maybe Woodrow Hamilton or Larrell Murchison possibly backing up DeNico Autry and Jeff Simmons? Because those two guys are gonna need a spell at some point. And could Dane Cruikshank be that third safety? We see Hooker is starting to come into that starting role, and Cruikshank could be in Hooker's spot what he was last year. So does it come down to defense, and what about coaching? Because now there's no excuse. If this defense doesn't get better between 12 to 18, that's kind of where I have them. I honestly think it's coaching, and they can't say it's the player's fault.
Well, I think
– thank you, Chris.
I think the Joes have to supersend the X's and O's, so to speak. So, for me, you know, we'll start with what you said about the third safety. And one of the things that's really interesting to me is the options that the Titans have as far as, like, when they go dime, right? You could go Chris Jackson if you want to go pure cover guy. You could go Elijah Molden, who, as Lewis Riddick said, is the Jedi of the slot, right? He could do pretty much everything. Because he has that mindset, that willingness, that want to come up and tackle. And that's something that, you know, talking to his dad, Alex Molden, and talking to Jimmy Lake, that's something that, you know, has always been there. You know, his dad said that was one of the first things that he saw from him when he was allowed to go from flag football to tackle, was actually his willingness to hit and his thirst for it. So when you have a guy like that, you could bring him in a dime situation, and that gives you that dime backer. But for me, the best option at dime backer is Dane Cruikshank. And I love his size. I love his coverage ability. Now, size is not a skill, but he's very willing to use that size and be a sure tackler. And I think, you know, when you look at him, the mindset, right? He has that kamikaze mindset. You look at a couple years ago when he was a gunner. That's what he really established himself as the best gunner on the Titans. And then when he went down last year, Westbrook and Kenny assume that role. But I think when you have that mindset as a gunner on punt team, that allows you to, like, that's the same type of mindset you want to have in those sub packages, because you have to be able to come up and make plays against the run like a linebacker. And that's something that he did at University of Arizona. I remember talking to him about this when he was a rookie, and he likes that situation. So I could see him filling in that third safety spot. And, again, they have options, right? And that's something that's really good. There are other players, too, that they could pop in there, but those are the top three in my three in my opinion.
And let's not forget about, is it Matthias Farley from Notre Dame had an interception today?
Yeah, Farley had an interception today. And he's a guy that is also a special teams as Mike Vrabel said, he didn't want to pigeonhole him into that type of sole role, but he's a guy that doubles as a special teams guy. And there's just a mindset that you have to have, man, on special teams. You have to, you know, I think you got to be a little wacky regardless to play football, but then you have to be extra wacky to go out there and play special teams. And that's why a guy like Darren Bates was able to do it so long and do it so well, because, you know, he's a little wacky too.
Caroline Fenton, what do we have on the text line?
Kenston texts in and says, how have the rookies looked, mainly Weaver, Fitzpatrick, and Monty Rice?
Okay. Fitzpatrick, you continue to see improvement. He ran a nice route today where it was kind of like a double move, and he was very smooth with it as far as like getting out of the top of the route, and he caught the football. I'm not really seeing as much as you may look for, you know, from him, as far as, like, you want more. Like, you want to see him flash a little more in team and 7-on-7. So you're not seeing that as much. But I still think, you know, he's someone that continues to be a work in progress. And in my opinion, Julio Jones coming to the Titans was beautiful for him. And this is actually what his pop said, too. You know, it was great for him because, A, he gets to learn from him and see that firsthand. But also, his pops didn't say this, but I'm saying it. It takes the pressure of having to contribute immediately away from him. And he's a guy that could continue to grow into his position as a professional. So I think that's a big-time thing for him. Monty Rice, you know, the linebackers overall have been pretty quiet. I kind of expect that. I want to see, you know, when they put the pads on and start going to thud, you know, I want to see how he comes up and feels, because that's something that he did really well at Georgia. So I can't really say he stood out to me at all. Right, Rashad Weaver, I watched him during some of the team periods, and I mean, he's just kind of out there, and that's fine, that's okay, because again, they're not padded up. You know, I want to see how he is just as far as coming off that edge, and you know, when they have the pads on. So those are a couple. I think those were the three he asked about, right?
Yeah, and I will say this about Weaver: he is huge,
he's long,
and he blew by Kendall Lamb yesterday. Not that, I mean, again, no pads, how many moves are you working, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I was at least somewhat impressed with Weaver blowing by him. But I would agree with you.
Yeah. He's long. I like the length. And I forget who I was talking to yesterday, but it's funny the optical illusion that numbers do, right? Because I remember seeing him, you know, in Pittsburgh. I didn't see him in person there, but I saw him in person at the Senior Bowl, and he had number 17 on, and it's just like he didn't look as long. But now he got 99 on, and it's like it stretches him out. So it's funny how the numbers do.
Andrew texts into the text line and says, I'm thinking Fulton is going to be very important this year. After barely seeing him last year, are you confident he could be a legitimate number two corner?
I am. And I've said that before. I'll continue to say it now. There were a couple reps, you know, where he struggled a bit. Josh Reynolds got him on the route. It's going to happen, right? No corner is going to break up everything that comes his way. But I just want to continue to see the development. And he's someone I've always been high on, his man coverage skills. I want to see that continue to come about. But I fully believe that he could be a number two corner and a solid one. And then once Caleb Farley comes back, that competition is going to be really intriguing. And I think, you know, we have to look at kind of what happened with Fulton last year as far as the injury that he had and how that kind of put him out of the way as far as the competition for the nickel spot. And it just, he was constantly going uphill, and that's something as a rookie you don't want to do. So I'm curious how that's going to work out with Farley. That may end up, you know, leading to even more time for Fulton. But either way, you know, they got 4-5 pretty darn good corners that I would feel confident putting out there.
I think they're going to challenge Fulton And I think Breon Borders is going to let him do it. You know, yeah. With the way Borders is playing with the, you know, not to say, oh, yeah, you know, we're going to play Breon Borders over you, but the idea of, hey, I don't feel bad if Breon Borders gets out there and makes some plays in the preseason of saying, hey, you know, if Farley's not back, I don't have a problem putting Breon Borders out there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, I mean, look, the guy could play, right? And he got significant reps last year, started 5 games. So he's definitely someone that they feel confident in.
James is up next. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting patiently. Go ahead, James.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask TD, because I opinion so much, if he still feels like first or still catch over and under 56, because I bet money on it when he told me that was going to happen, and also who the big dog on defense that's going to lead our defense this year, who we should watch.
Before you go, James, I told you to take the over, right?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to say it with my chest once again. Take that over. I think he does have over 56 receptions. And you know what? Here's the thing. It may not be for 800 yards, you know what I mean? But I think he's going to have 56 catches because, in my opinion, he's that guy that's going to be their go-to on third down. In fact, Mike Vrabel said it, right? And he's that guy that's going to be their go-to in the red zone. So 56 catches over 17 games, you know, that's what, four catches a game. I think that's a pretty fair average. And he's going to have those games because, remember, defenses are going to be so focused on stopping the guys on the outside, right? A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, and that's going to give him – matchups that I think he could win, especially, you know, when they're in 11 personnel, I think that's going to help. So, yeah, I'm going to go over 56. As Jarrett mentioned, he had a very nice catch today, ran a nice route, his patented route, and he hauled it in for a touchdown.
I thought great throw by Tannehill, great jump catch by Ferkser, and I thought good coverage by Amani Hooker. And I think that's kind of what you want when you're watching at training camp. TD? The Titans training camp report from Teron Davenport, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the all things basement-y company, the Trenches Shop in North Nashville, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's new barbershop on wheels. You have control of time and place. Book your appointment at the cuttruckmobile.org. TD, who's on Talking with TD this week?
Talking with TD this week, man, it's Elijah and I emptied the notebook for the first couple of days, the first day of camp. And then we got Chris Sanders, Run TMC, Talking Shop. We dug in a bit on the receivers, so definitely make sure you check that out. And, Chris, if you're listening, don't get mad at me because I said you look like Roy Sparrow.
TD, as always, joining us on the program. Appreciate you, TD.
For sure, man. I'll see you tomorrow.
Yep, Teron Davenport joining us. As always, the TD Power Hour is presented by Freedom Tire Guys, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at freedomtireguys.com. Ryan Tannehill has gotten a promotion in the annual Mike Sando rankings, but I am still bothered and feel like Tannehill's disrespected. He got a promotion, and I still think he got disrespected. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.